Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To get the week started here on The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. It's a Monday, but of course we've got a great football weekend to recap and give you our lessons moving forward. So we'll start in the NFL with what happened in Sunday Night Football. Can we trust the Eagles moving forward when their offense is barely scoring 20 points a night? But their defense has been fantastic, so they do continue to win. And then at 6:20, we'll get into the latest NFL headlines. And, of course, later on in the show, we'll give you our MVP Mondays. And maybe we'll recap some college as well, because P.J. Glasser in for Jinx today. P.J., let me say this. It feels like it was an epic weekend of football all around. Like, we had great college games. It felt like a great NFL game in every single window, where, you know, it wasn't one of those things where it's like, oh, all the early games are terrible. Felt like we had great football, like, wire to wire this weekend.
I mean, it's that time of the year, right, Chelsea? Middle of November, and everybody always says in the NFL, Thanksgiving around then is when the games really start to mean something. That's when they really start to get important in the regular season. And in college football, I mean, we're going to have our third college football playoff rankings tomorrow. It's starting to shape up. At this point, we kind of already know the teams that are pretty much locked in, like Ohio State, Indiana, A&M with their comeback win, Ole Miss. I mean, all these teams are locks. They could lose in the last week or two, because most of them play cupcakes in either of the last 2 weeks. They pretty much can lose one of their final conference games and still be in the playoffs. So we definitely had some crazy games, some big comebacks, some upsets. It's a great time of the year, especially in college football with these last couple weeks and some of these teams starting to feel the pressure and feel the heat of trying to make the playoff or trying to win their conferences. It's going to be exciting. So this was a good little appetizer, you know, a good little kind of it was good to see some of these games this weekend, and I think we're in for a lot more good ones.
Yeah, this is usually the time where games start really meaning more. And I do think now that we've shifted to the 12-team playoff, maybe they don't mean quite as much during the regular season. But, like, for some of these teams, like, even games that weren't even supposed to be good, like, I couldn't take my eyes off that Texas A&M game. Like, that's crazy to me that game was so close. And also, I couldn't take my eyes off because it was the same color scheme on both sides of the football. And you're like wait, who has the ball? I think we had that a couple times where it was teams across the board who had, like, the same colors, and it was, like, difficult to tell. But also, YouTube TV and ESPN came to an agreement finally. So I don't know if you're a YouTube TV person, PJ, but that was very nice and just in time.
No, thankfully I'm not. I'm a FUBO person. So I've been good through all this chaos, while unfortunately other people have been dealing with the YouTube TV stuff. But yeah, like you said, good weekend for it. A&M game was crazy. I took them +15.5 at halftime, Chelsea. I did not take money line. I wish I did. I thought they would make a comeback. I didn't think they'd win. And I didn't think they'd outscore South Carolina 28-0 in the second half. That was pretty incredible. Also, Shane Beamer, like, how bad of a look is it when he goes into halftime and he's like pumping up the crowd, right? He's so fired up, thinking his team's going to win the game, and then they come back and lose. So, you know, Beamer's not really a guy we're talking about on the hot seat, and I don't think he is. I don't think South Carolina's going to get rid of him, but I mean, again, you know, with the last couple games that they've played, they had Bama on the ropes. They should have won. They had A&M on the ropes. They should have won. We all knew how tough of a five-game stretch this was for the Gamecocks, but with the expectations they had coming into the season, with a lot of people thinking Sellers was the best quarterback in the country, thinking he had a chance to win the Heisman, thinking South Carolina had a chance to go to the playoff, and for them to be as bad as they have been this season, and I mean, that game was just kind of a microcosm of their season. You know, they do some good things at times, but then they just they completely fall apart, and they have stretches where their offense does absolutely nothing. So that was a brutal, brutal loss for South Carolina. And A&M, I mean, they just continue to find ways to win 10-0. And like I was saying, they're in the playoff. I mean, they can lose to Texas the final week of the regular season and still be totally fine. So Aggies are they're good. They're going to the playoff, and we'll see if this team's good enough to win a national championship. But they've been awesome this season. Their offense has been really, really good and really fun to watch.
Yeah, anyway, you slice it through 10-0. So I think that, at the end of the day, is the most important thing. And for South Carolina, standing at 3-7, you're right. This is a lot of people's dark horse team coming into the season. A lot of people like Lenora Sellers to actually make noise in the Heisman race. So I think relative to expectations, South Carolina, man, what a letdown. Speaking of letdown, so was my best bet. Had the Commanders and Dolphins over 47.5 over the weekend. Nobody could get in the end zone. This was the most frustrating game to watch if you had the over, because my goodness, both these teams were allergic to scoring touchdowns, or hell, even, you know, kicking field goals at the end. I know the Dolphins finally won it, but points were certainly at a premium. I think the final score was 16-13, but luckily I did get a winner with Georgia. Go Dogs! Dogs laying 6.5 against Texas. That was an easy winner. Didn't have a day, brother. In college football, he had Oklahoma +6 over Alabama. Georgia laying the 6.5. The over in Minnesota and Oregon. The only loss would be Michigan laying the 11.5 against Northwestern. Boy, was that a good game. PJ, again, great games just all around. So I understand, you know, didn't cover the spread in that one, but even the games that I feel like we didn't expect to be good, we still got great games.
We did. Yeah, that early window. I mean, it was obviously highlighted by the A&M South Carolina game, but Michigan and Northwestern coming down to the wire, 2-point game. South Florida Navy, Chelsea, was a game that I was definitely keeping my eye on. I wanted South Florida to be in the playoff. I wanted them to be the group of five team. I thought of all the group of five teams, they would be the team to maybe give one of the power four teams the best game. And now that they lost to Navy, they're done. But that was a fun game to watch. So, yeah, I mean, that early window that we had on Saturday, a lot of really good games. Michigan, they managed to just get by Northwestern. They get Maryland this weekend, and then, of course, they got the game against Ohio State. And Michigan, they're still right in the thick of it. You know, that's what's great about the college football playoff, Chelsea, and the 12 teams. I know there are still some people that feel like it's too many, but it's 12 teams, and for teams like Michigan and that playing a Power Four conference that's either the Big Ten or that's either the SEC, if you got two losses, you got a chance. And Michigan, who's got two losses, one of their losses is to Oklahoma, and that's aging really, really well. If they're able to beat Ohio State in Ann Arbor the final week of the regular season, Michigan's probably going to be in the playoffs. So big win for them to find a way to get it done. Northwestern just has this ability to play people close and bring teams down into the mud and muck it up. And that game was at Wrigley Field, which was pretty cool to watch. But yeah, Michigan hanging on, still got a chance, and we'll see how they fare in College Park this week. But if they can get by that, they got a chance to go to the playoff. They can beat Ohio State.
Yeah, it's always great when the rivalry games actually mean something, which certainly will be the case when Michigan faces Ohio State. All right, let's get into what we saw last night in Sunday Night Football. As the Eagles beat the Lions 16-9, covering as 2.5-point home favorites. The under 46.5 hits very cleanly because there wasn't much offense in this game. Jalen Hurts only went 14 of 28 for 135 yards, ran for 31 yards, and the lone touchdown of the night, including this on the Brotherly Shove.
And Hurts surfs over the top and is in for the touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know how much running was involved, but it is counting as a rush touchdown for Jalen Hurts. But at the end of the day, the Eagles defense once again was absolutely lights out against a very good Lions offense that has so many weapons. Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, only 39 yards on 12 carries. Jameson Williams had a couple big plays, had four catches for 88 yards and a touchdown. But still, to limit this Lions offense to only 9 points is certainly something to hang your hat on. But PJ, as we know, people are going to look at the Eagles score and say, the Eagles offense is broken. How are they doing this? A year after winning the Super Bowl and being absolutely dominant on offense, what's the problem?
I mean, it's a tough watch right now. Jalen Hurts, I mean, I'm watching that game last night and I'm thinking to myself, how did this guy win a Super Bowl? You know, how did this guy make it to two Super Bowls? Like, Jalen, for too many times this season, has just not looked good. They have not been able to get Barkley going this season. He had 26 carries last night and only was able to get 83 yards. Devontae Smith had one catch for 8 yards. So, like you said, the offense just not good. Lane Johnson got hurt in the game again last night against Detroit. Look, Philadelphia, I think we all kind of agreed early on in the season when this team was just finding ways to win games that they were kind of going to be this year's Chiefs in the regular season, where it wasn't going to look pretty a lot of the times, but they were just going to find ways to win. And that's what good teams do. And that's what the Eagles continue to do this season. It doesn't always look pretty, but they find ways to win. Their defense was fantastic though last night. I mean, Jared Goff was 14 for 37. He had a tough time just even completing a pass, let alone scoring touchdowns. He only had one passing touchdown. But the key to the game was fourth down. We know with Dan Campbell, most people absolutely love him because of his aggressiveness and his willingness to go for it. And last night in Philly, there were high winds that was really affecting the kicking game. And when Jameson Williams scored the touchdown to make it 6-6, he got a penalty for his celebration that moved the field goal back to a 48-yard extra point, and Jake Bakes missed it, the kicker. And after that, Dan Campbell was like, as a guy who already doesn't like kicking in the first place, was like, yeah, we're not kicking much more tonight. So he went for it a lot, and they were 0 for 5 on fourth down and just could never convert a fourth down to keep the drive alive, and that really was the game. So look, the Eagles offense obviously needs to be better if they want to get back to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. But for at least one night, for last night against one of the best offenses in the NFL, Eagles defense was unbelievable in that game.
I think it's all relative, like speaking about the NFL, because how many teams can we look across and say, like, this team is dependably good every single week? There's not that many teams. Like, some of these games we've seen for the Bills, like where yesterday, of course, Josh Allen goes back to Josh Allen things, has 6 total touchdowns, but there's been lapses for the Bills. There's been lapses for the Chiefs to the point where it's a real question whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. So you look at this Eagles team, we're like, yeah, there's big questions about the offense, but at least the defense comes to play every single day, and it feels like this, you know, this team is going to find a way to win. Like, at the end of the day, they're 8-2. So I know that they still have a little bit of time to figure things out on the offense, but like, it's getting late quick. We're sitting here at November 17th. So, I mean, they need to figure it out, I suppose, if they want to win a Super Bowl. But again, it feels like I have a lot of questions about most teams in the NFL.
100%. Look, the Chiefs were the favorites to win the Super Bowl going into this week of games, going into week 11, Chelsea. I think a bunch of people waking up this morning, their biggest takeaway is how surprised they are that the Chiefs lost that game yesterday. We all know the track record. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes off of a bye, normally how great they are. Mahomes 13-1 in his career before yesterday on the road in division games. Like, they had all these trends and things going for them. The fact they're 5-4, 3 games back at Denver, you still play them twice, you have a chance possibly to win the division. And they just they did not look great yesterday. The Broncos were the better team. They outplayed them. So to your point, I think we all felt like the Chiefs were probably the team to beat in the NFL. But with them going down, Eagles winning, Rams winning that big game against the Seahawks on BetMGM, the Rams and the Eagles are now the two favorites to win the Super Bowl. So, like you said, there's no dominant team. We talk all the time. The NFL is a week-to-week league, and this year it feels like, I mean, that is no truer statement, right? Like, every week, mm-hmm. a team could look completely different than what they looked the week before.
Yeah, I feel like I'm flip-flopping when I talk about, like, the Buffalo Bills. Because it feels like more than any other team, like the Bills are just week to week. It's crazy. And it's wild to me that the Eagles and the Broncos almost feel like similar teams. Like, just because it feels like their defense is going to keep them in a lot of games, but you can't really trust the offense. But, like, the difference is one of these teams won a Super Bowl last year and, again, was scoring, like, 40 points at will. So it's just one of those things where you look at Bo Nix, you're like, okay, well, it's Bo Nix. I guess that's his excuse. But, like, what's the Eagles' excuse? Like, they got to do something. A.J. Brown's going to have an absolute temper tantrum. And you know what? I don't blame him.
Exactly. They win ugly. You know, there are a lot of good teams. Like the Ravens, Chelsea, they can't win ugly in the playoffs. And that's why they go home. They won ugly yesterday, but it was the Browns. They played a good team. They probably don't win that game yesterday.
Nah, we have so much more to talk about in the NFL, and we'll get to that next. Including the ejection of Jalen Ramsey. Was it warranted? It's next on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fell. During the break, me and PJ Glasser in for Jenks today, have been wondering who's in the circle of trust in the NFL. Like, usually it feels like there's at least three or four teams. We're like, okay, this is the cream of the crop, and these are the teams that you can count on in the postseason. But right now, it feels like that list is very short. And in fact, PJ, I think we've decided the circle of trust is simply one team. It is only the LA Rams.
I mean, they're definitely at the top of the list right now, especially if they stay healthy. Stafford and McVay have won a Super Bowl together. They have a terrific offense. Mm-hmm. Their defense is terrific. They're one of the best in the league against the run. They force turnovers. They do everything really well. So They right now are just below the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. I think because of the Eagles' record and the chance, and because they beat the Rams head to head, still have a chance to get the one seed, is the reason why Philly is still as the favorite at BetMGM. But yeah, I think most people would agree right now the Rams are better, and they would be the team at this point that you would trust more than Philadelphia. Then in the AFC is where it really gets interesting. I think the team at the top for me is still Kansas City. Chelsea, I think this is the toughest thing to do in sports. You were comparing KC to the Astros, which I think is a really good bet. It's when a team has been so good for so long, it's so hard to kind of differentiate like how good the team actually is versus how good they have been and just waiting for them to kick it into that second gear, right? And like, I mean, if Kansas City still played Buffalo in the playoffs, or they still played the Ravens in the playoffs, or whoever in the playoffs, like you'd probably still bet Kansas City, right? Just because it's such a hurdle for those other two teams to beat the Chiefs when it matters most. So do the Patriots look better right now? Yes. Do the Colts look better right now? Yes. Like, there are plenty of teams in the AFC. Denver looks better, obviously. They just beat them yesterday and look like the better team. So there are plenty of teams that look better than the Chiefs, eye test-wise. They obviously have a better record than the Chiefs right now. But I just think, like, even though we're heading to Week 12 and Kansas City, if the playoffs started today, they wouldn't be in it. They're two games back, essentially, of Jacksonville because the Jags have the tiebreaker. Like, for me personally, like, it's still hard for me to trust any team in the AFC more than Kansas City, just because every year of Mahomes' career, he has been to the AFC championship game, just like the Astros made it to the ALCS for seven straight years. So it's still probably the Chiefs, as crazy it is for me, as the number one team I trust the most in the AFC. I'm just a proponent of until they don't do it, or until I see somebody else do it, I can't trust it. So I still have to go with the Chiefs in the AFC. But I mean, like, if they don't make the playoffs, it's going to be an absolutely nuts year trying to watch the AFC playoffs and see who makes it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough day for the NFL's rigged crowd, because as you're sitting there watching that Chiefs game yesterday, like, you almost expect something wild to happen on the final play. You're like, they won't get this field goal off. Like, there's no way the Broncos hit this and win this game. Like, the Chiefs can't keep losing. Roger Goodell's going to lose his mind, because that is a big fan base, and that is a big, you know, name brand right now, where it's the Kansas City Chiefs, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Travis Kelce, it's Andy Reid, it's Taylor Swift. Like, that is a large swath of the population that Roger Goodell probably does not want missing from the postseason. So I'm standing there, I'm like, all right, like, let's wait for the penalty or something to happen. They're going to run it back for a touchdown, or the game is going to end in a wild way. And when it doesn't, and the Broncos hit the game-winning field goal, I feel like I can't even accept it. You know, for the next 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, I guess they did win. Huh, that's crazy. Because as you were alluding to, I feel like for me, when I'm looking for a team that's in the circle of trust, I want them to fill out both Venn diagrams, where one is the stats, the numbers, and the record, where their offense needs to look good on paper, like the scoring margin needs to be good. And then the other Venn diagram is, do they have postseason experience? I need both of those to overlap, and right now it feels like the Rams are really the only team that fits those, because we have the teams with postseason experience, you know, like the Bills and the Chiefs, and you look at them and you're like, oh, you know, even if their record's not that great, I can still forgive some of that. And then you have the teams who have the great records and the great numbers, like the Patriots and the Colts, but they don't have the postseason experience. So it's like, which one do you think matters more this year? Will you take a chance on a team that doesn't have postseason experience but has really good numbers and they've looked really solid? Like, look at the Patriots. I understand it's very easy to look at Daniel Jones and be like, all right, Daniel Jones, like, do we want to trust him in the postseason? But Drake May's still a young quarterback. So let me ask you, PJ, would you rather trust a team with postseason experience or a team that has shown it week in and week out and maybe just doesn't have the experience in the postseason?
I'd rather trust the team with postseason experience. I think Minnesota showed us all last year with Sam Darnold that when you get to the, you know, when you get to the end of December, when you get to early January, like, it's just a different brand of football. That was a team that won 14 games last season. People thought Sam Darnold should be in the MVP conversation. He was terrific all year for Minnesota. And then in their two biggest games, the regular season finale against Detroit and then the playoff game against the Rams, he turned back into, you know, Jets Sam Darnold. So it's just a different brand of football, you know, regular season to postseason. And that's why I'll always go with the postseason, because so much of it is mental. The teams that have been there, the teams that have had success, the teams that have won already have such a head start over the teams that are trying to get over that hump, you know? So, again, that's why I still think the Chiefs would be my pick right now to represent the AFC, especially at the current odds. So Buffalo's the favorite at BetMGM, 4-1. Indy's 50, and then the Colts are +500. Ravens are 6-1. Broncos +650, and then the Patriots are also +650. So, I mean, that's what, like, you got six teams that are in between +400 to +650. It's so wide open. But again, I mean, none of these teams, Drake May, Bo Nix, like, they haven't won a playoff game. Daniel Jones has won one. And then we know the Ravens and Bills can't get past the Chiefs. So it would still be Kansas City for me. But, like, as you look at the AFC kind of picture right now and you look at the odds, who would be your pick? Like, if you had a bet right now today to win the AFC, who would you choose as your bet?
Well, I think that once again, we've probably missed the boat on the Patriots now that they're down to +650. But, like, that was the talking point last week, just simply because I think when it's so wide open, or at least that's what it feels like in the AFC this year, you try to get some value and say, okay, who can I get a pretty decent price to at least make it to the AFC Championship game? Because I think, you know, my stance on betting on the AFC is that, or the AFC or the NFC, just somebody who needs to get to the game, because you have one side of the coin, if they even get there, for, you know, 8-1 or whatever. You know, that's what the Patriots were last week, but now they're down to +650. I do think that number only shortens from here, because I think they have another easy game next week. I need to double check, but I think their schedule lines up pretty well.
Yeah.
But I think your point is well received about the Chiefs. Like, it's one of those things where if it is a one game sample size, like, who are you trusting in the last 2 minutes of the postseason? Like, for me, it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But I will say this, like, eventually the torch has to be passed, and dynasties don't live forever. So, I mean, maybe it's somebody else this year. I mean, I think that would be extremely interesting. But I mean, all of these teams absolutely have flaws. Like, even if you look at the Bills, like, that defense is a problem. Like, they had to score, what, 44 points to win over the Bucks? Like, that doesn't feel like a winning formula. And we've seen what the Chiefs can do to the Bills in the postseason.
Let me ask you this too, right? So I just asked you, of those six teams, Bills, Colts, Chiefs, Ravens, Broncos, Patriots, team that you would trust the most, team that you would bet, which of those teams would you least trust, right? So if we were having like a fantasy draft of those six teams and we were picking like the teams out of the AFC, who would be your last pick of those six teams? Because I also think that's super interesting, right? I think you could kind of make a case probably for the Chiefs and the Bills probably wouldn't be your last pick. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, I think with the other four teams, probably, I think I would go with the Colts most likely, just because the Broncos have the dominant defense. The Patriots, I think, of the three teams, definitely have the most talented quarterback. And I just trust Vrabel so much as an underdog, especially against some of these better teams. Indy, again, going back to Minnesota, it feels like they might be this year's version of the Vikings, where they're that great regular season team. We're already starting to see it, though, with that six turnover game against the Steelers, and then they go overseas and they go to the overtime with the Falcons and probably should lose that game. So I think the regression's starting to come for Indy. It's awesome they're playing the Chiefs this week and we get to see those two teams against each other. I think the Colts would probably be my last selection, though.
That was my first instinct, is just the Colts, they're putting up these great numbers, but a lot of it is against bad teams. But I do think it's important, especially because we are human beings, and I think we have these, like, innate narratives that live in us, whether we like it or not. Sometimes you need to fact-check your feelings. So I'm looking at the schedule for the Colts, and I'm saying, okay, what ammo do we have to go against the Colts that say, okay, the Colts may be frauds? I'm looking at the schedule, and it does feel like when they play the best teams in the NFL, like their one game against the best team in the NFL, or at least the team that plays the best week to week, you know, they lost to the Rams 27-20, but that was a relatively close game. So yeah, they have shown that they can, like, keep it close. But Daniel Jones had two picks in that game. So, like, Daniel Jones was not carrying the team to a victory in that one. He was 24 of 33 with a couple of interceptions. But, I mean, they belong in the conversation. It's just one of those things where I have this feeling in the NBA where I think you'll have to go to the postseason before and lose before you win an NBA Finals. Like, we saw that with the Thunder, didn't we? Where, like, the Thunder made a good run in the postseason before they could win an NBA Finals. So I kind of feel that way about the Colts.
Right. Yeah. I think Shaq had that phrase, you have to learn how to lose before you can learn how to win, which is so true. I mean, you see it with like very, very few teams. I mean, even the Chiefs and Mahomes, you know, like they lost in that AFC title game his first year to Brady. D Ford was offside and then the rest was history and the Patriots go to the Super Bowl. So everybody does it. Even the teams that win for so long, they have to lose first usually before they end up winning. So yeah, I think it's probably the Colts. Their offense has been so good, though. Jonathan Taylor's unbelievable. And, you know, they did go for it, and credit to them on defense, getting Sauce Gardner. And when they get Shadarius Ward back, they're going to have a really good secondary. So the Colts know. I mean, if they want to win in the playoffs, you have to have a great running game, which they do. Check. Good offensive line, which they do. And then you got to have a really good defense to go up against all these awesome quarterbacks in the AFC. So, yeah, it's that Chiefs-Colts game, to me, is the game I'm most excited for next week, just because the Chiefs, I mean, they were in must-win mode coming out of the bye against Denver. Now you lose that game, and you really put yourself in a hole. So we know they're going to be in big-time desperation mode. And obviously the Colts, I mean, they're trying to keep pace with the top teams in the AFC, with Denver and New England, and try and do everything they can to get that number one seed. They also still have to play Houston and Jacksonville each twice, Chelsea. So even though right now they have three-game advantage on the Jags and a four-game advantage on Houston, you still have to play those two teams twice, at KC, at Seattle, and home against San Francisco. It looked really good with Brock Purdy yesterday. So Indy's got a really tough schedule coming out of the bye week, and they got some important games. So we're gonna learn about the Colts a lot here over the next 7 weeks.
I'm real interested to see what the number is on the Chiefs to miss the postseason. I just found it in another book. It's not at BetMGM just yet. So the Chiefs are only plus 150 to miss the postseason. Because I was thinking to myself, is this going to be a difficult decision? Because if it's upwards of 2-1 for the Chiefs to miss the postseason, like, we're getting late in the season quick. But at plus 150, PJ, I think I already know the answer to this question is that would you take the Chiefs to miss the postseason at a plus money price?
I would not. No, I would not. As a matter of fact, my bet would be, if they lose to Indianapolis on Sunday, I'd grab them at plus money to make the playoffs. I cannot bet the Chiefs to miss the playoffs until I see it. I can't do it. I can't. So, you know, maybe they don't go to the Super Bowl this year. Maybe they don't even go to the AFC Championship game this year. Maybe that's the first time that they don't do that in the Mahomes era. I have a hard time, Chelsea, believing that they're going to miss the playoffs. You know, the Denver game didn't look good yesterday, but when they've been healthy and Rice has been back and they have looked really, really good most of the time on offense, they've started to look like the Chiefs again. So, again, they've dug themselves in a hole. They know it's time and they got to go win games. The schedule does get a little more favorable for them after having a brutal kind of middle stretch here of the season. So I still think they're going to make the playoffs, but even if I didn't at plus 150, I'd need a better price.
Maybe it's one of those things where matchups matter in the postseason, and it really depends on the team that they face, similar to March Madness, where we will see maybe there is a strength versus weakness there, but it should be interesting as we roll along in the AFC. More NFL talk after the break as we break down our MVPs of the weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back for more. It is Monday, November 17th, here on The Daily Tip. I'm Chelsea Messenger. He's PJ Glasser. In mere moments on the show, we'll hand out our MVP of the weekend and tell you who we think had the best weekend across the sports landscape. So we've been joking about, like, the situation of, we all know at Thanksgiving there's a kids table and there's an adult table. And so in the NFL, like, there's all these teams that I consider, like, at the adult table. If they're on, I'm interested. But there's one team who I have been sitting at the kids table that... maybe I'm mistaken here. I just checked. The Chicago Bears, if the season ended today, would be the number 3 seed in the NFC behind the Eagles and Rams. They're 7-3. Like, maybe I should start paying attention to the Bears.
You are what your record says you are, right? As Bill Parcells used to say. My favorite stat with the Bears, Chelsea, they're 7-3, as you said. They have a -6 point differential this season. So, I mean, there you go, right? They're winning games, but they're certainly not doing it convincingly. And a lot of them have been fourth quarter comebacks, like another one yesterday against Minnesota. My favorite's Carolina, though, that they're 6-5 with a -42 point differential, you know? So the NFC is so wide open, and there are teams right now in the playoff picture that I think a lot of people definitely know are kind of fraudulent and probably shouldn't be as good as their record is. And the Bears' schedule does get tougher down the stretch. They still have to play Green Bay 2 times, and that's really what the season is going to come down to. But they still have to go to Philly. They still have to go to San Francisco, and they're home against Detroit. So look, as a Bears fan, I mean, this is what you want. They're 7-3. They've pretty much won all the games they're supposed to win. They got a tough schedule the rest of the way, but again, like, you want to make the playoffs, go beat the Packers. You want to make the playoffs, go beat San Francisco. So it's all in front of them. But yeah, I mean, it is crazy to see that, because the NFC North, a lot of us felt like coming into the year, this was one of the best divisions in football. They have 3 teams with a winning record, and somehow the Bears right now, as we head into week 12, are leading the division. So it's kind of insane. But yeah, credit to them. I mean, they are finding ways to win games right now.
Yeah. Maybe to put this back in perspective, so Next Gen Stats over at NFL.com does a playoff probability. And here are the probabilities for like the top teams in the NFC. Eagles, 99%. Rams, 99%. Bears, 59%. Bucks, 85%. Seahawks, 90%. So one of these things is not like the other.
I think I might bet the Bears. I think I might bet the Bears to miss the playoffs. You were talking earlier about the Chiefs to miss the playoffs at plus 150. I think we're getting plus money now on the Bears to miss the playoffs, and that is definitely something that interests me a lot. Again, because you have to play Philly, Green Bay twice, and San Francisco and Detroit, I think that's a tough stretch. So I'm probably going to be fading Chicago a bunch here the rest of the regular season, and now that we're finally getting them at plus money to miss the playoffs, I think I'll be on that here after the show.
And I also think, like, if it's a younger team and they continue to like win all these close games, like eventually the pendulum is going to swing the other way. You know, and, you know, we aren't going to see magic at the very end. Right now, if you want to bet on the Bears to miss the postseason, it's minus 105. So not quite to plus money, but it's getting there for the Bears, who stand at 7-3. All right. So how about the people we trust and the people who we appreciate over the weekend? Let's crown a winner of MVP Monday.
Here are your nominees for Monday MVP.
MVP! MVP! MVP!
All right, so we had plenty of great games over the weekend, which we've alluded to, and we've had plenty of great performances over the weekend. So I think there's probably one person that stands out, and it's my candidate, but we did have some good ones to choose from. So let's kick things off with me, and I'm going to go with Panthers quarterback Bryce Young.
Young, late rush for Atlanta. Bryce Young steps and throws. He's got it to McMillan. Touchdown, Carolina.
All right, so some of this is based on expectations, because the expectations for Bryce Young are a lot less than, say, somebody like Josh Allen. So when Bryce Young, you know, grinds through ankle pain where he's writhing on the sideline and he's barely, you know, walking after some of these passes, and he grits out a 30-27 overtime win over the Falcons yesterday with a franchise record 448 yards passing and 3 touchdowns, it means a lot more to me than seeing somebody who we know is good put up numbers like this. And mind you, the Panthers are still in the race for the postseason, which is something that, like, I keep forgetting. Like, there's a good chance that they're going to miss it, but still, they stand at 6-5 right now, second in the NFC South. So a great performance from Bryce Young. I know a lot of people think that he is not an NFL quarterback, but this was a career day, and this had to feel good for somebody who's been the butt of a lot of hype jokes over the last couple of years. So Bryce Young's going to be it for me. All right, PJ, you're next. Who's your MVP of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go with San Francisco 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy, who returned to the lineup yesterday for the Niners.
Purdy floats it back in the end zone. All alone is George Kittle.
I mean, yeah, Purdy, look, he was out in the first game since week 4 when he got re-aggravated his injury against the Jags. And Mac Jones was playing great for San Francisco for the most part. A lot of people wonder if Purdy was going to come back this season. But in his first game back, 3 touchdowns, he looked really good. Led San Francisco to 41 points. And maybe now changing the perception around the Niners a little bit. With all those defensive injuries that they have, it's probably going to be hard for them to get to the Super Bowl. But I think we all felt like there really wasn't that much of a drop-off between Brock Purdy to Mac Jones. And I think maybe yesterday we realized that there's a reason that the Niners have been to Super Bowls with Purdy. And there's a reason why they've been to NFC Championship games with Purdy. He was awesome yesterday, and I think he was my MVP of the weekend. So, Chelsea, I'll go with Brock Purdy of the Niners.
Yeah, it does feel like, if we're talking about like Venn diagrams, whether we want to admit it or not, the Niners feel like they are in that Venn diagram of postseason experience. You know, Brock Purdy's played in the Super Bowl. So I know that people look at Brock Purdy and they're like, yes, the weapons around it. But still, you know, the experience is certainly there. All right, David, looks like you're going to the college ranks. Who you got?
I am going with Marcel Reed, Texas A&M quarterback.
Back to throw again. Stepping up. Taking a shot. And it is caught. Bethel Roman. Touchdown, Texas A&M.
Now, if you'd watched the first half of this game, you probably would be like, really, Dykstra? Really? But because he did throw two interceptions, and I think he only had 128 yards passing, and they were down 30-3 to South Carolina. But in the second half, he leads that comeback for a 31-30 win over South Carolina. At the end of the game, he goes 22-39 for 439 yards, three touchdowns in that second half to go along with the two interceptions from the first half. So second half, much better. Texas and A&M also staying undefeated.
Yeah, what a performance. And thank you to Texas A&M for giving us a great game to watch as well. I really enjoyed that one. All right, Den, you're closing things out. Who is your candidate?
Oh, I'm going with the defending National Football League MVP, Josh Allen.
Mm.
Allen on third and three. Only a three-man rush from the Bucs. Allen buys time. He's going to toss it downfield. Open man caught by Shavers. Touchdown, Bills.
A complete masterclass of I'm going to do whatever I want and you can't stop me. That was one of six touchdowns for Josh Allen, three of them through the air, three of them on the ground. He beat old short stuff Makerfield over there in Tampa in what was, I thought, the best game of that opening window, maybe the best game of the day. It was just a back-and-forth contest between two really good teams, two really good offenses, but Josh Allen proving why he is, if he's not the most fun quarterback to watch, he's really damn close to being the most fun quarterback to watch. He just be trying stuff. And I love quarterbacks that just be trying stuff, and then they start working. So Josh Allen's my pick.
It's really impressive when NFL quarterbacks make it look like backyard football. You know, where they just complete something. You're like, if it's that easy, why can't my team do it? Like, you know, when you're watching a Josh Allen offense, and then, like, I watch the Titans, and I'm like, we can't even do that for one play. But I think at the end of the day, like, to be completely honest, if I had to choose an MVP, it would be Josh Allen. When you account for six total touchdowns in the NFL, like, that's all I needed to hear.
I agree. Especially in a game where your team needed it, right? Like, you could put up six touchdowns and you could win by 30 or 40 points, but the Bills needed every bit of those six touchdowns. That was a back-and-forth game. The Bucs were pretty much leading the most of the way, especially in the first half. So they needed one of these type of games from Josh to beat a really good Tampa Bay team. Sean Tucker, who the running back for the Bucs on the other side, maybe would have been an MVP consideration had they won. He was unbelievable in that game as well. But, yeah, I mean, everything Denton said, everything you said, Chelsea, I think Josh Allen's probably the pick this week. We were waiting for that vintage Josh Allen game, especially coming off the heels of what they looked like against the Dolphins and how poorly he played. For him to bounce back like that in a game where they needed him to play like this and have six touchdowns, I agree. He's probably the MVP this weekend.
Yeah, I had a feeling that this would happen. Last week, Josh Allen was plus 650. Now he's down to plus 475. I'm not sure if you can quite make a case for him to win MVP over Matt Stafford and what we've seen from Drake May, but I was thinking to myself, if anybody can stat pad, and like this was a meaningful game, so maybe that's the wrong term for it, but like me saying it's like, it's not crazy to look at Josh Allen and be like, he's somebody who can score six touchdowns in a single game. I kind of thought that would be the case, and now he's down to plus 475. But let me ask you this. Do you think he has this like sneaking suspicion in the back of his mind where it's like a sinking feeling where he's like, this is what I'm going to have to do. If our team is going to win a Super Bowl, I'm going to have to score six touchdowns because our defense is just not reliable.
Yeah, I definitely do think there's a part of that. I mean, again, week to week, this Buffalo defense, we just do not know what we're going to get out of them. So I think Josh probably, he does, especially when they go up against good teams, like when they play Tampa, he's probably going to have really good performances like he did yesterday.
Yeah, it's going to have to be hero ball, but if anybody can do it, it's certainly Josh Allen. All right, coming up next, hour two, we'll give you our best bets for Monday Night Football after the break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle,
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.